CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Monday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Hey, as we start off this brand new Christmas week, we want to say Merry Christmas to everybody, and I hope, pray that you got this time of the year lined out for all your relatives that are going to come over. Open presents, eat food, all these things. What a great opportunity to lovingly share the greatest gift of all, that Jesus came to the world to save sinners like you and me. You know, unto you, the Bible says, this day at the city of David, a Savior is born. I think it's interesting. It doesn't say a life coach. It doesn't say a motivational speaker has been born to you in the city of David, a Savior. Something that government can't do. You see, because government can't save you from your own thoughts and your own feelings and your past and all those things. That's why you need the ultimate Savior in your life. And that's Christ Jesus. You know, and so we have so much to be thankful for. Well, was Jesus really born on the 25th of December? Gosh, I don't know. But I will tell you this. He was born, and it is a day that the entire world recognizes that Jesus Christ was born. So I'll go along with that. I'll agree with everybody. Yes, Jesus Christ was born, and that's what we focus upon. You know, there's always those that'll try to split hairs. Well, was he born on, the first of Elul? Was he born in the spring? Was he born in the fall? He was born, and he came for a purpose in that being born, and that was to die for you and me. And you know, his blood covered our sins. He rose from the dead and gives us hope, life eternal. I think it's interesting that when Julius Caesar was king of the world, he came and, you know, what's really amazing, he sent out a decree that all the world should be taxed. Man taxes, man takes, God gives, and gave his only begotten son. So much to be thankful for. If you've got a question, been reading your Bible, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker on the Weekend Times, the Dacus Report from PJI.org, attorney at law representing people like you and me against unfair laws and practices. Hi and welcome, Brad.
Oh, it's great to be on the program. Thank you, Mike.
Always a blessing to be with you. Looking forward to answering some questions and so many things going on in the world right now. And I just want to say I'm so glad you took time out of your busy, busy schedule to come and be on the program today. And today, by the way, for all of us listening, if you have a legal question that you would like to ask Brad, doesn't cost you $500 an hour. No, just call that number, 8888-ASK-CSN. And he'll give you some good advice on what you should do about that legal issue. And so that's why we do this as a public service to all of you, to help you do a better job for our King. Brad, you know, so many things going on. You had America Fest. You had all these things. What's happening?
Yeah, I tell you, we just came back from America Fest this last weekend. And I tell you, it was very encouraging. I've never seen it that this large before. We had about 30,000 people there. In the past, it's been like 15,000, you know. Most of these are Gen Zs, young people, high school, college age, excited, on fire for truth. And a lot of them were Christians. We did a breakout session. I did it along with two of our people on staff, and it was very encouraging. It was filled with people. And at the end, we gave the gospel and opportunity for people to pray to receive Christ. And we had at least two hands raised to receive Christ. And, you know, and I know that others were there, and Greg Laurie was there preaching the gospel. So it was spiritually very productive. And I, you know, there was some anti-Semitism that tried to creep in, but it was called out. And I'm glad it was, because it's real important that we not deviate from a Christian biblical worldview, and also just fair, sound human rights policies.
So, wow, lots of stuff going on there.
Yeah, and then also we had a media booth. So we had a regular booth in the exhibition hall, but then we had a media booth where I was doing interviews. So I did interviews or was interviewed by other media all day on Friday and Saturday, about two dozen interviews. And so that was just packed. And my staff, they booked me like I'm 21, but they're smart enough to manage me like I'm 108. So it works. It works.
Oh, the problem of having a 30-year-old brain in a 60, 70-year-old body never works.
I know.
Yeah. Amen. Well, let's go to the phones. We have Jerry on the line. Shalice, Washington. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, brothers. How you doing?
Well, good. Merry Christmas to you. How may we help?
So I called you guys probably 6 or 9 months ago, and I told you guys about my situation where I was fired by the state for not accepting the vaccine. Mm-hmm. I got the exemption, but I never got the accommodation, and they never met with me for an accommodation. They only met with me to tell me there was no accommodation. So, so anyway, I went and got an attorney, and as I told you gentlemen before, that attorney became ill and could not handle the case any longer after a year. And so he gave that case to an attorney friend of his, and he was attorney number two. Attorney number two, I told you gentlemen that he said that he wasn't going to be able to stay on the case because he was too busy, and that I was to go and look for somebody else. And I believe that Brad gave me a recommendation to call his office to try and find out if there was somebody else that could help me. And basically that dead-ended and dried up. Could not find anybody else. I was reviewing the paper, and I came across an attorney that actually won a case against the city of Seattle for the same exact cause. I told my attorney number two about that. My attorney number two said he was going to contact attorney number three to find out what happened in that and find out if there could be some kind of joint thing or him taking it over.
Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just bewildered here. Did you talk to one of our attorneys? You're in Washington State, is that right?
I talked to one of your attorneys at first. I have not talked to one of your attorneys in Washington State. Somebody in your California office gave me a number to dial, but I didn't dial it because I knew that last time Tracy said she was busy, so I didn't try to go down that.
Yeah, I would go down that rabbit hole, and I would call her and tell her that you talked to me, and then I told you to talk to her. At one point we reached a max out in the states of Washington, Oregon, California, specifically with these COVID vax. We took on more cases than any organization, any law firm, even the EEOC didn't have as many cases we took on. But we had to freeze new cases for a period in those places. That we had about 280 cases in active litigation then. Now it's back down to about half that number, 140 plus. So I would encourage you to talk to her. And what's your name again, sir? Do you mind me asking?
Yeah, it's Jerry Williams.
Okay, Jerry Williams. Tell you what, I want you to, let's see, what maybe you can give your phone number to the producer or someone. And I can call specifically on your behalf and talk to her and see if things have changed and where things are. I want to do everything I can to help you. If your case is not, apparently is definitely not killed by the statute of limitations, you filed, it's ongoing. So I don't want to see it die on the vine at this stage because, sounds like you have a good case. The employer, just for people listening, not only, if you once they recognize that you have sincerely held religious beliefs, which you apparently was recognized, they have to make a good faith effort for reasonable accommodation, which usually involves sitting down with you, talking to you, saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. How about this? How about that? But just simply to say, we can't accommodate you. That does not show any kind of good faith will to accommodate. There needs to be a dialogue, a discussion. And if that didn't happen, if they didn't show and prove that they were making these efforts, that's very problematic for them in their defense.
Jerry, stay on the line, and so we can get your information, and then we'll be sure to get that to Brad so he can forward it to the proper places. Okay.
Yes, I will do that. And please, you guys, thank you so much for what you guys do for our Lord and for helping people out, no matter how small or how large. You guys are, it's so much larger. So thank you so much.
God is good, yeah. Jerry. And that's why we're here. We're here to help. We're here to bless. And, you know, I don't know if you've noticed in general, but CSN has never been on the take. It's always on the give. And I believe this is a direct result of being rooted and founded in Jesus Christ. And I just want to say thank you for all of you that share in the daily costs, all these things that make CSN work, pay the towerants and all these things. I don't talk about it very much. We don't have telethons. We don't have those kinds of things. We just want to let people know thank you for all of you that share in the vision, because without you doing this, we can't do it. But, you know, I've always refused to put Jesus in the breadline. You know, won't you keep Jesus off of welfare this week by putting in a nice, healthy donation? You can keep him. Meanwhile, in the background, there's a violin going, ee-wee-ee. And you know, we don't do that. We just want to let people know, hey, we're here as a family. We're doing something together we could never do independently from each other. And what a wonderful blessing that is. Jerry, stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. Merry Christmas to you. And Brad, we'll forward that information on to you, okay?
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. I appreciate it. And also, I just want to let you guys know, we're continually getting victories in these cases. We just had one that came down today, and against San Francisco, we got our job back, and we hit them hard also on the damages side. So, I really do want to, if there's any way we can help you in your situation, I really want to do so. So thanks for calling, Jerry. I really appreciate it.
Jerry, stay on the line. We'll get you taken care of. Merry Christmas to you. And if you like, stay on the line. We'll send you a little book called Time to Grow. With that, we will go to Steve, Henderson, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I wrote down my points to make the call most productive. I wanted to give, because I'm looking for basically some advice on a decision, a very big decision for myself. And it regards finding a long-term Christian girlfriend, and whether or not to move to find such. I'm over 70 years old and in good health. I've been divorced twice. Two women that were probably not a true Christian. One has passed. I tried to reconcile both of them. The second one had no biblical grounds for remarriage, for a divorce, rather. And I believe I had biblical grounds because I think she was an unbeliever. Based upon, basically 1 John 1, chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and on down the line in the Bible. I would like to have a girlfriend or mate, but have not been successful despite being on several dating sites off and on over the years, 6 years. I've lived in the Las Vegas area for over 5 years and have not found that girl despite going to church and singles events. And I admit I am picky. But I found the same is true of the girls that I'm interested. It's kind of like Dale Moody said. They asked him, "Are you still single?" He said, "Well, the desirable is unattainable, and the attainable is."
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, very quickly, Steve. You know, I do believe God is love, and divine hand transcends miles. And I would, You know, you can move if that's something that God's put in your heart. I don't know that I would move just exactly for this particular reason because, you know, Las Vegas is a pretty big town. Henderson, Nevada, just an outskirt of Las Vegas there. There's literally, what, 2.1 million people in the Vegas Valley? That's a pretty big group of people there. There's a lot of churches in that area. And, you know, to go visit and different things like this, look for singles events. I think those are always good things. You know, Brad, what would you tell? What would you tell Steve?
Well, I would not give up on the long distance possibilities.
Yeah.
In that, I mean, it's true. I mean, Las Vegas is not a tiny little country town with, you know, one or two churches. It's a very large community. And I would say just pick another town and move to it, or city, because, you know, it's, you've already got a big city there. That said, I would not give up on the internet services like eHarmony. I know some Christians that have found their mates on eHarmony, and and as far as long distance, you know, you getting to know someone, you can get to know them over the phone. My wife and I, we had a long distance relationship for 10 months. She was in Southern California. I was in Northern, spent an hour on the phone, every night talking. And that's when you had to actually pay per minute. It's not like the nice day today where you can talk for free. So we did that. And then we were engaged for 2 months. And then right like the 2 days, the day before the wedding, she drove on up. Now I flew down and she flew up, you know, and stuff. She had family up in where I lived. But still, I think that you'd be open to all the pawns that God may make available for you, and pray about it and don't worry about it. But also don't be too picky. Look at the older we get, the pickier we are. That's just the human nature. But, keep your eyes on really what are the criteria that really matter. You know, does she love the Lord? Has she exercised self-control over her body for at least a couple of years? Is she living out her faith? These are all things that are very important. And I also want to exhort you to not to compromise the relationship physically until you are married. The world is telling you something different to our youth and also to our older people. But you need, follow God's standard, and that's the healthy and best way to have your relationship and to wait until marriage before there's intimacy. I think that's very, very important. Usually, wouldn't have to say it'd be presumed, but in our society today, I think it's worth having to take note of that.
Amen. So I hope that helps, Steve.
Well, can I say something else?
Sure.
Yeah, I have done all the things that you guys have suggested, and the online dating has showed that I would have much better chance of finding a mate down in the Phoenix area, which is more amenable to my sinuses. In fact, two girls down there have already said that you just live too far away. And so, I've done all those. I've prayed about it and stuff like that. Pastor Mike, you said last week to the guy, single guy, I'd suggest that you move. And interesting, one morning.
Well, he's in a very little town in Utah. I don't know. The town is probably more than 8,000 or 9,000 people. So we're not talking somebody like in Las Vegas or Phoenix or L.A. or something like that. But that's why I said that. But even then, I believe a God of miracles can bring anybody to anybody through incredible. Just like you said, Brad, you guys were miles apart from each other, and God arranged everything for you. So I don't think, Steve, that miles has the thing. I think it's where you feel most comfortable in. And if you're talking about, being in a different area for health reasons or whatever, I think that's sometimes how God moves us around to different places. I don't ever want to say, oh, God couldn't bring me anybody because I'm in Bug Tussleville, Kansas. God has a miracle way of doing everything. And certainly as we look through the Bible, God can provide every one of our needs according to his riches and glory. So that would be my take on it. But, if you feel more comfortable, go down Phoenix. Phoenix is only probably 220 miles from Las Vegas. you know, you can go down and go down for a weekend and go to church with these different people. I think it's always a good thing to meet people around the family of God. So important. Steve, I hope that helps for you. Merry Christmas to you. And again, if you stay online, I'll send you a little book called Time to Grow. And I just want to say that may the Lord guide you. You know, you said you were picky. I got to tell you something. If you don't have a right to be picky, in fact, for all of us, then who does? I mean, we want to do that. But remember this. I remember back when I was in high school. Oh, that girl, she's a 10. And then, you know, oh, that guy, he's a real 10. Well, you know what 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1 is? That's a 10 growing older, just so everybody remembers. Hope that helps. Steve, stay online. We'll get you taken care of. God bless you. Let's go to Michael, Sparks, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi. How may we help?
I wanted to, this is kind of like a legal thing, and I wanted to know, get your take on it. It's dealing with an anti-Sharia law bill, and I wanted to try and get that, you know, passed, and I wanted your legal advice, because, you know, the growing, you know, Muslim population and everything like that that's in Nevada and preferably all over the United States. I wanted some legal advice on, like I say, doing an anti-Sharia law bill.
Yeah, almost like passing it for the Constitution, Bill of Rights. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, it's interesting because legally, no community can pass laws that are divergent from what the state authorizes or the federal government authorizes. So let's say you had a little town that was taken over by Muslims or Muslim immigrants or whatever. And they, you know, passed laws saying, okay, women have to have their heads covered, et cetera, you know, with all these Sharia law mandates. That could be challenged on its face as violating state and federal law. A law that was specific and said that no city or no state can mandate that a woman has to have her hair covered to be in public, or that a man or woman has to have their head covered in order to be in public, and made specific statements like that. I think that's a more practical way to go rather than just say Sharia law, which could be perceived by the courts as possibly more of a direct attack, if you will, upon a religion, although that would not be the intent. It'd be, of course, to protect people from losing their freedoms and liberties because of that religion, which is very oppressive in many ways, unfortunately. And we don't, you know, it's really ironic. It's in order to become a citizen, you know, people must, you know, swear in allegiance to the United States, but it complies with the Constitution. And yet the religion of Islam is exactly the opposite. It's to set up a kind of government which is totally divergent from the Constitution, which is what Sharia law is about. And in so many ways it's divergent. So it's something we need to be aware of. But I think the best way, I think, statutorily would be to specifically call out those things that we deem to be violations of assumed rights that people would have, and codify those in that context.
Hope that helps, Michael.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, we have to be careful because, again, when we look at those things, but not to give them more credibility than they deserve. And unfortunately, most of Sharia law is against our personal freedoms that we have for us in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. So really, again, this is the problem with Islam is, and in the Quran, it isn't just a religion, everybody. It's global conquest and to establish global Sharia law. This is what it's about. Now, does every Muslim know this? No. Does every Christian know the Bible? No. But when you really begin to really understand what true Islam is, it's global conquest. Britain had a terrible time with Islamic forces in the mid-1800s trying to institute global conquest. And we see it today again as well, creeping into different places. Now, does that mean every mosque, feels that way? Probably, maybe not. I don't know. But I do know this is the crux of their faith, is instituting global Sharia law. Brad, any last thoughts on this? Because I think it is important, because we have to understand that some religions are just out to tell people about the great king, the Jesus that was born in the manger, and that you believe in him, you get to spend eternity with him. We're not trying to overthrow governments. We're not trying to infiltrate corporations. We're not trying to, work our way and take over complete cities and towns. No, that's just our heart, to just tell people the good news. But unfortunately, when we deal with these other religions, we find there's something much more sinister than just what's on the surface. It's to get in control, increase the control, and stay in control. That's that's the underlining pinnings of these things. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and also to oppress those who do not agree with it. Muhammad himself was, not a passive, friendly guy. If you didn't accept his new religion that he's created, then if you didn't bow the knee and say "Hail be to Allah, Lord of Creation," you get your throat slit. And he killed, and it was resulted in many, many, many people being killed because of their Christian faith, because they would not deny their Christian faith. So the religions, the founder of the religion, their role model is a very dangerous role model. That's just reality. We need to respond with truth and love.
Amen. Michael, I hope that answers it for you. 8888 ASK CSN is the number to call. Michael, stay in line. Send you out a little book called Time to Grow. Merry Christmas to you. We're coming up on that break. We don't want you to go away, and we're going to have a whole lot more coming up right after this. We'll be right back.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. More than 1 million people are now part of healthcare sharing because it just makes so much sense, especially right now. And MediShare is the gold standard. Members like it a lot. We know this from member surveys. MediShare has been around for over 30 years. It is a proven thing. And if you join before December 31st and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee, so you save $100 right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is December 31st, so call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
Back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Monday with Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute, encouraging you once again, if you've got a legal question, today's the day to call. Won't cost you $500 an hour. You can ask Brad all those questions that you need to ask him. And again, PJI represents people like you and me against unfair government laws, biased laws, prejudice laws. And so if you got a question, today's your day to ask. 8888, Ask CSN is the number to call. Back to the phones we go. Don on the line, New Orleans, Louisiana. Hi and welcome.
Hi, Mike. I've called in before. Me and my wife were in church yesterday and heard something that we kind of questioned. Now, we're not young Christians. She got saved before the tent in 19, I don't know, what in the heck it was, the late 60s. I got saved in the tent under Chuck Smith in 1973. So we've been walking with the Lord a while. And it's not the pastor, it was somebody who was assisting the pastor, as I also do myself here in New Orleans, at Calvary here in New Orleans. And he was saying that he was trying to make a point how making melody to your heart in your heart to the Lord, which is a great, great message. But he was saying that only we as humans can do that. Angels can't do it. And then I thought angels were singing when they were, you know, when they were in the fields talking to the shepherds. And I just kind of, you know, I wasn't going to say anything about it. And then my wife, you know, she says, is that true? The angels can't sing? And I said, I don't know. Let's find out. And so we started doing some research, and we couldn't find anything specifically says that they sing other than God himself sings. In Zephaniah, it says that, I got to get my magnifying glass here so I can see, because I'm 77 years old. The Lord thy God, in the midst of thee, is mighty. He'll save you over, rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. So that's the only thing I can find of that God himself is singing. And I was just wondering if you had any more insights. So angels actually can't sing because they're not human. Singing comes from the heart. I think that's what he was trying to.
Well, I think you'd be in a lot of difficulty to try to prove that. Now, it is true. And this may wreck some of your manger scenes, everybody. But I'll just tell you what the Bible says. This is found in Luke chapter 2, and it says in verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, it is not singing. Hark, the herald angels said. Well, that's accurate. Because singing, it doesn't say that they were singing. Again, this is Luke 2, 13. This heavenly host was praising God and saying, well, it gets kind of interesting as we look at this, because we do know that we are, you know, we do have that ability to sing. But do we find anywhere in the Bible where it is possible that angels could sing? And I believe there is a verse. It's found in Job 38, verse 7. And this is going back to when God created everything. And we find here, verse 7, and the morning stars, oftentimes referred to as angels, and the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted with joy. This is where, when God created all these things. So here, if these morning stars, in fact, are angels, and sometimes they can be referenced that way, I suppose, it says they were singing. So to say that angels can't sing, I don't think you can really honestly say that. To say positively that they do, I think maybe that would be also a little hard. However, we do have this verse in Job 38:7 that talks about the morning stars sang together. Now, being this together thing kind of seems to indicate maybe a little bit more than just one, or maybe literally just talking about a star, but actually very possibly the angels. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, I like many people, we just sort of assume that angels sing and rejoice and praise God, but I think when we see that also, we're thinking in our dimension, where we have, 21% oxygen, we have air, we have vocal cords, and God made us to be able to sing. So I look at this as a very much of a minor. I definitely would not leave a church on it. I would give the pastor a lot of wiggle room on this one. The host, do they rejoice? Do they praise the Lord? Yes. And we're going to be doing it. And, if I get to heaven and God doesn't have, for some reason, doesn't let me have sing with tunes, but rather with proclamation and declaration, however he does it, I'm going to be just very, very happy, I'm sure. So the key point is we're going to be rejoicing in the Lord. We're going to be praising God. It's going to be totally awesome. And the issue of whether we're of who's able to sing, I think is going to be very not even on our minds. So it's not a reason to leave a church. And I give your pastor lots of grace on this one.
Yeah. And real quickly, Don, as we look at this, did the angels sing when Jesus was born in Luke chapter 2? No, it doesn't say that they did. It says they said. So that I would say, yeah, they said that there. But to say angels can't sing at all, because we have this verse again in Job 38, verse 7, I would be careful to say they cannot sing at all, because this seems to indicate very possibly something different. I hope that helps.
Yeah, that's the very scripture that we found also. And no, this is no big deal. I mean, this guy, he just assists with the pastor as I do when he's out of town. Right now, he's like doing some, he's over chaplains in Texas. And when he's not in town, I either take over for him or this other guy does. And this other guy, who I don't really know that well, was doing that. So it's not an issue at all. No, we're going to leave the church. I mean, my wife's been in this church, 20 years?
Yeah.
She's with me here now. You know, she got saved
great.
With Chuck in, back in, geez, that was before the tent. She got saved before the tent. She was in the church when Chuck was washing the feet of the hippies.
Yeah.
I guess he liked that. anyway, that was no big deal at all. We were just curious as it, because like I say, we've been walking with the Lord for a long time and just went, wait a minute. I thought they sang when they were in the fields, and I thought they sang when they were in, in the book of Revelation with the 420 elders, and I thought they sang when they were with Job in the, that verse that you brought up, and so I was just wondering, and you brought the same thing that we came to last night, the stars were singing.
Exactly. Hope that helps. I was in that tent as well, back in the very first part of the early 70s, first like 71, 72. So I was there too. Don, God bless you. Merry Christmas to you. Stay in line. Send you a little book called Time to Grow. Great for evangelism. If you need more, let me know if your church needs them. And Merry Christmas to you. Thanks so much. That was a great question. Let's go to Sandy in Montana. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, dear. How may we help?
It's a bit of an issue with my heart. It's a prayer request. My sister and her husband passed away in September and October, and they had a double funeral in November at my brother-in-law's request. They were married 40 years, and they are both in heaven together. And so this is going to be my first Christmas without them. They're 2,000 miles from me. I'm in Montana. They're in Louisiana. And I didn't really have any say about anything that went on with the funeral, their estate property or anything. All I had to do was a death certificate and cremation, if, that was all right with them to cremate. And so I'm not too sure about Christmas. I'm sorry. This is going to be hard for me, knowing that she's not there and that they're not there. And then I won't be able to hear from them. So this is going to be very hard for me.
Sandy, we want to pray for you. And let me share something with everybody right now, because I think at Christmas and Thanksgiving especially, this is when we really realize that death sets in, the chair that grandpa sat in or mom or dad sat in is empty this year. You set the table, and where there was always six, now there's only five. And I want to share something with you, and this is really important for everybody. If you don't get anything else out of this program, please get this today. I think we as humans have a hard time with grief. Do you know why? Because I believe that when God created us, he didn't create in us an ability to deal with grief because there was no grief before we sinned. You understand that? Mm. Grief is a result of sin. And in God's making us in his image, we didn't have that circuitry to deal with grief because there was no grief until sin entered. We were created before man fell in the garden, so we didn't have that pre-programming how to deal with grief. And so I believe, Sandy, that's why it hits you and all of us so hard, and especially this time of year. And I just want you to know, though, that God did make a provision for us through the death of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross for our sins. When Peter said, casting all your cares upon him, on Jesus, for he cares for you. I believe that is the provision that we now have to deal with grief, that we put that upon him. But initially, I don't think we had that ability to deal with grief because we were never designed to die. That's a direct result of rebellion. So I think when we see this, I think that we have to go back to what Peter learned from the Lord so much. Casting all your cares upon him, he cares for you. And if anybody had cares in their life, certainly it was Peter. I'll never deny you, Lord. I'm willing to go and die with you. And Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny you know me three times. I think there was a lot of grief, a lot of stuff in Peter's heart. I think there was a lot of cares in Peter's life. And so for somebody that had those kind of cares to say, casting all your cares on him, on Jesus, for he cares for you, I think is that rewiring the circuitry so maybe it won't sting so bad. Because, Sandy, they're not gone. They just moved. You're going to see them again. And even though maybe they're halfway across the nation or halfway across the galaxy, we'll see them again. Because the Bible says that in heaven will be known as we're known. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's true that the holiday season, particularly when we're children, it's nothing but just awesome, you know, celebrating. And it's just very positive and it's a warm family time. But as we get older, that does change, and especially as we get into, you know, senior years, and it reminds us of people that are no longer with us. I think it's one thing you should remember, and that is, don't feel bound on how you celebrate Christmas or who you celebrate it, or, you know, you don't have to keep the same tradition. I know a lady, and she lost her son, and it was just Christmas was just a really hard time for her. So she would leave town with her husband, and they would, you know, go on a trip, and they would do something, because the traditional way of celebrating Christmas was just, you know, it's too hard for them to, in terms of their memories of losing their son. So that was you know, so I'm just saying, don't feel bound by how you have to celebrate Christmas. God gives us a lot of freedom and grace and doing that. And then number two is, often it's the focus can be very, very positive. We shift it in other ways. Like there's maybe someone in your church, a family in your church that has little children, you know, that would, you know, allow you to, or someone else allow you to celebrate Christmas with them. That can be really positive. I know I don't have little children anymore, but I always just have a joy when I see precious children and laughing. And there's so you can also shift. And who you're spending that time with, not just where, but who you're spending your time with can also be an encouragement. But it can be tough. You know, like as Pastor Mike said, you know, we're not made for for grief. That's not how we were created. And yet, keeping our eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of faith, in the end, that's the most important way of dealing with grief and understanding the promises that he's given us, not just in this life, but in the life hereafter.
And I believe this is where fellowship is really important, Sandy. This is why I think church is good, because we have our fellowship, we have our friends, we have our support groups within church. And I don't believe that we were meant to go mourn alone. I think that God put around us people who love him, that we get that support from, until I see my loved ones again. And so I just want to encourage you. Father, I just lift up Sandy and all those right now. Mm-hmm. They're having a hard time with this time of the year. Yes. You know, your word says, if we ask anything in your name, you'll do it. And so I pray you would comfort, yes, your people, Lord, and that you would be a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that brings that reassurance that we will see our loved ones again, those that have died in Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just give her peace that passes understanding. Your word says that you give. The world takes, but you give. You gave your son, and you said you'd give us peace, not as the world gives, but as you give. And so give her and all those listening, those that are missing their loved ones so much at this time, that peace that comes from you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sandy, that's Amen. Our prayer, and we just know what you're going through. We all feel it. And again, I think about, if by nature, though, we're not wired for grief. We find the solution in Christ by casting all your cares upon him. He cares for you. Sandy, stay on the line. We'll send you out a little book called Time to Grow. Me encourage you and share it with your friends, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Sandy, God bless you, dear. If you need us, we're here for you. Let's go to Bonnie in Eureka, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I have a question for Brad.
Okay.
And my question is this. I have been a courtroom clerk at the county courthouse here for 23 years. And earlier in the year, we record, we don't have court reporters very much, so we record our hearings. And earlier in the year, at the conclusion of a hearing, I didn't press the stop button on the record. And about 8 minutes into the just working, the bailiff brought up a conversation about the hearing we just had, it being about a man who turned into, he said he was transgender during the marriage and they were getting a divorce. And we had a conversation about just about how I felt sorry for her, how difficult it would be, and that I didn't understand or agree with that. And then the management at the court found out about the hearing, I mean, the recording, when I figured out I didn't press pause. And they first said, there'll be no disciplinary action. Just remember to push pause. And I said, I will. And then about 4 months later, they did do a disciplinary action on me. And they said that I was being hateful to transgender community, and they want me to watch a video produced by the California courts about transgender people, and then about five TED Talk type programs about that. And if I don't complete that, then I am subject to being fired. And their position was that there was no expectation of privacy in the courtroom with the bailiff and I just alone together. It was actually during the lunch hour. And I was wondering if Brad had an opinion on if there is an expectation of privacy, because they also disseminated that conversation to, I guess, a group of people who decided that I was being hateful to transgender people.
So this was during your lunch break, not during the court hearing or anything like that. You were just sharing your feelings and expressing your feelings.
Yes.
Wow, yes, Brad, your thoughts. Sure sounds like an encroachment of freedom to me, but your thoughts.
Yeah, so you're really not being punished for forgetting to push the pause button. You're being punished for the content and viewpoint of your speech, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So if they were uniform in their punishment for people who didn't do the pause button, and this was just a normal punishment of X, Y, and Z, you have to you know, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about them specifically honing in on the content of your speech. They didn't agree with your speech, but your speech was reflective of your beliefs, your convictions. I think this could be a potential case. You need to get a legal counsel immediately, and we'd love to provide that. You live in Southern California, Northern California?
I live in Humboldt County, Northern California, Eureka California.
Yeah. Eureka. So I'd go to the website. We have pji.org. In addition to a lot of great free resources, et cetera, there's a request for help and spell out what it was. First sentence, say, talk to Brad Dacus on his to Every Man an Answer. And I told him the situation, and he told me to make this to contact PGI for legal assistance or legal counsel, so that their attorneys can dig deeper into it and see the strengths of the case. We've dealt with people, we've defended people before in these situations. Every case is different, you know, the facts are different. So we want to look at it, and we don't want to create a case if it's not in your best interest. Sometimes we do tell our clients, you know what, because of the facts X, Y, and Z that also are part of this, you know, it's actually best for you to do what they're saying versus file a lawsuit. But that said, on the face of it, I see this as something that definitely needs to be looked into, because they're punishing you not based on procedure. They're punishing you based on your viewpoint and specifically a viewpoint reflecting your religious beliefs. And no action that you've actually taken in any way against any person. You know, that's how I see it just at first glance, but I would definitely do that. Also, if you don't hear from someone within – how urgent is your situation? Where are you at on the time frame?
They gave me till the end of the year to watch the videos, but I I just had a rotator cuff injury, so I'm out right now for 3 weeks. So I actually they'll have to extend the time I have till the time I return.
Brad, very quickly, forcing her to take these reorientation classes. That to me seems like a real violation of a person's personal rights to be be forced to be subjected to propaganda from their viewpoint. This is wrong.
We defended a pastor, or I think it's, let's say someone in ministry who was preaching, and he is addressing homosexuality. He was public preaching outside, evangelist, and the San Diego County. They went and said he was disturbing the peace, and they actually tried to bring criminal charges against him for disturbing the peace. And what they said at the end, they said, well, you know, we'll drop all the charges so long as he agrees to go through this reorientation program. And so we can change the way he thinks and believes. And the pastor said no. And we agreed, and we took on the case, and we prevailed against the city and against San Diego. So I think that, you know, we've seen these tactics before. We have to look at the facts and see if there's anything else they're hanging their hat on other than just the viewpoint or content of your beliefs. But at first glance, it seems to me that that's really all that's there, and that's not would not be legitimate. We have a great attorneys there in Northern California and out of our Sacramento office in particular. And I think they can be a real, real big help in your situation. I encourage anyone in these kind of situations to contact us immediately. And if you don't hear back from them after going online and sending that request, you know, don't hesitate also, if you're running out of time, to go ahead and call the main number, which is 916-857-6900. You can find that on our website as well. But and then ask to speak to the legal counsel. Matt McReynolds is who I would ask for right now. Matt, our attorney, Matt McReynolds.
Yes, Bonnie, because you don't want to let the time run out. And they will sometimes drag it out till sometimes it's actually past the date that you can respond to it on purpose. So don't let them get away with it. So I'd be active in pursuing it. Does that answer your question for you?
Yes, you did. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you for all you do, and peace to you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. And again, you know, all it takes for the evil to win is for the righteous to do nothing. So it's time we stand up, be counted. Let your light shine. You know, God's called us to be noisy little sunbeams, hasn't he? Mark, we want to get to your question. Do you have to say in Jesus' name when you pray? And Greg as well. Hey, listen, call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Thank you, Brad, for being on the program. PJI.org. Till then, God bless you and good night.
Or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226. Or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.